Hey everyone, this is Jack here, and this is episode 17 of the Off the Beaten Path podcast. Right now I'm sitting at an airport in Kathmandu, and it's kind of crowded, and there's intermittent announcements, which are pretty loud, so I'll try and pause the recording and if any of those come on. Yeah, since my last podcast, I said I wouldn't be doing one for a while because of a 10-day meditation retreat that I would have been on right now, but my plans very suddenly changed. I'll get to that in a little bit. But first, you know, before going into that, I want to talk about my time over the past few days, because it's been a nice few days. Mostly spent kind of mentally prepping for this retreat that I was about to go on. Before I left Pokhara, I went to that holy festival that I talked about at the end of my last podcast, which was really interesting and fun. Seems like one of the biggest parties of the year here in India. People are in the streets. The kids. Oh my gosh, the kids. I went for a run that morning, and I saw so many kids with water guns and water balloons and buckets of water and the colored powders that they would throw on each other. And I was, I managed to avoid all of it. Right as to the point where I was about to circle back towards coming home. And this girl, had a water balloon, and she looked at me and I looked at her, and then I started to run a little faster, and she nailed me with a water balloon, like right in the ear. Really hurt, actually. And I'm like, you know what, kid? You got a good shot. You earned that. So yeah, it was a really fun festival, and yeah, after my run, came back, met up with Novena, and we walked along the lakeside waterfront where I did my last podcast. Tons of people down there, all with these colored powders, and you kind of take turns, like, wiping the powders on each other's faces. Definitely not the best social distancing practice for coronavirus, but luckily it's not bad here, so that's fine. That holy was really nice. My last night with Novena and Greg was great. And yeah, took a bus ride back to Pokhara, back to Kathmandu, rather. And ended up staying at a different hostel this time. But despite that, I ended up spending a lot of time at that first hostel that I stayed at way back 4 weeks ago when I first came to Kathmandu. Announcement. Yeah, so as I was saying, after Pokhara, I made my way back to Kathmandu and had a nice few days there. I arrived that night, still hadn't heard from my teacher friend, so I wasn't sure if that was happening. I'm a little bummed out about that at first, but Kathmandu's, particularly Tamil, the place I was staying, is such a cool area. So much great food and stuff, so I was pretty happy to be there. And then that night, I did hear from my teacher friend. His name is Lage. And Lage's like, yeah, we're on. You know, this is how you get to my school the next morning. And boom, it was happening. So I woke up in the morning, bought some baking soda and vinegar, had a nice breakfast before I went off. And then I went right outside of the city, took this, like, local bus. I paid, I think, the equivalent of 20 cents for it. It was like an hour-long bus ride because of traffic to this this area where Lage's school is, and had a really great time, you know, interacting with the kids there. It's basically first graders through fourth graders, so like six-year-olds to like 10-year-olds for the most part. And wow, what a big difference there is between a six-year-old and a 10-year-old. I had forgotten how big that gap is. Lots of great stories about these kids. But yeah, on that first day, had like a little presentation prepared. So I went to the computer lab and told them that I was a chemical engineer and explained like what a chemical engineer is. And then I explained what a chemical is. You know, at this age, it's just like, it's not part of the education at all. So I introduced them to an atom and showed them the periodic table and said, everything's made of chemicals, you know. And I had them point to things around the room and I would tell them the chemical structure of it. And that was okay. You know, they were kind of into that. But what really got them excited was the baking soda and vinegar. So there was this like little courtyard right outside of all the classrooms. And they stood around me in a giant circle all the second graders, all the third graders, all the fourth graders in waves. We did the demo three times, and I had a balloon I filled up with baking soda and then put vinegar in a plastic water bottle and then, you know, sealed the balloon on there and dumped the baking soda inside and watched the balloon inflate. And then, of course, I would, you know, pull the balloon off and it would go flying through the air. They just ate it up. Loved it. So that was a really good first day. And, yeah, it felt almost like a job or something. It's really strange, but I haven't had any real structure like that in a while. So, yeah, it was, you know, took the bus into work, just did my science demos, came back, and then had to plan for the next day's lesson, you know, make another presentation, think up some new science demos. I think the second presentation I made, I was very happy with talking after. I didn't really know what to expect on the first day, but the second day it was, I had more of an idea of what they knew, what they didn't know, and tried to get them excited about the different types of science. You know, right now they just see science as science class, but I kind of tried to communicate there's all these different types of science, and gave them a few examples of different types of science, put up this great infographic of this, like, rainbow of all the different types of sciences, biology, chemistry, life science, economics, you know, all these things. And they seemed really engaged with that. Like, oh, what is that one? What is this one? Because they all had these little pictures to go with it. So, yeah, that was pretty fun. And I didn't end up doing an experiment on that second day because we ran out of time, which was all for the best. But Lage played a pretty great prank on me. He didn't see it as a prank. It wasn't really a prank. He put me, at one point with the first graders, he put me in a room with 25 first graders, and the room was full of toys, like shelves of toys all around us. And I was like in the middle of a circle of all of them, and he's like, all right, I'm going to leave, and you kids just sit here quietly and listen to Jack and do what he says. I should have known. I got a little keyboard off the shelf and started like playing some piano. I'm like, all right, who wants to learn to play piano? And of course, everyone's me. So kind of take turns with a few kids, like trying to teach them some piano things. But the circle's sort of like moving in closer and closer to me. They're like, they're all getting closer and closer. And then one kid reaches out and touches, like, someone that I'm not playing with, someone else reaches out and touch it. Next thing I know, there's 15 hands all on the piano, all banging on the keys. And it kicked off this massive wave of just kids doing whatever they want in the room. Like, other kids started grabbing things off the shelf, like dinosaurs and plastic bell peppers and things they shouldn't have grabbed, too. There was one kid, I don't even know where he got it. He got a flag, like a flag bigger than he was, and was waving it. And then there was another kid, like, pulling on some other kid's legs, and they were screaming. It was chaos. It was wild. Eventually, one of the kids, like, went and got Lage to, like, save me. But I couldn't leave the room. I felt kind of trapped because I'm like, I can't leave these kids alone. They're, like, destroying each other. And, like, almost got him to sit down in a circle one more time, but I just couldn't wrangle him. It was too much. Contrast this with the 9-year-olds who were, like, actually, you can, like, have a conversation with them, and they're a little more well-behaved. You know, if you kind of, like, all right, you need to behave, they'll listen, but not those 6-year-olds. But yeah, there actually wasn't much of a language barrier with the kids. Even the 6-year-olds I was able to communicate with pretty well, which is a testament to this school, I think. It's a English primary language school, and they're like, they get in trouble for speaking Nepali. And I did hear a little Nepali, but I didn't tell on them. But yeah, their command of English at that age is pretty impressive. So yeah, that was really fun. Despite the craziness, and a couple of the kids seemed really, really interested in me and kind of pulled them to the side, and it's like, you know, I think you'll be a good scientist one day or something like that, and, you know, trying to get them excited about it. Of course, when you ask a room full of kids who wants to be a scientist when they grow up, like, all their hands go up, because of course I'm there and they're all excited to see me. But the few who were asking like really incisive questions or just seemed to have a real knack for it, I made sure to let them know. Yeah, and then on my last day volunteering there, I did an individual demo with every student, which took more mental energy than I thought it would, actually. I guess I should have thought through this, but I did a mixture of cornstarch and water, which is a classic science demo. It's a non-Newtonian fluid and has a very interesting characteristic when you play with it. If you move quickly, it feels more solid, and if you move slowly, it feels more liquid. And I probably repeated that phrase 100 times because I had a bowl of this cornstarch and water, and we made a giant line with all the fourth graders, and one by one, the fourth graders got to stick their hand in the cornstarch and water and play with it and squeeze it and punch it, you know, all the fun things you get to do. And I did this for all the fourth graders, all the third graders, all the second graders. I must have done it with like 200 kids, you know, just saying the same thing over and over again, yet slightly different levels, you know, with the 6-year-olds and the 9-year-olds or whatnot. But yeah, I think it was a really, really great demo, and kids seemed into it. So yeah, that was a really great experience. I'm glad I did that. And the staff seems really, really happy to have me there. They were like making me food and bringing me tea, and Lage is a really great guy. He's a co-owner of one of the hostels that I stayed at, and that's how I met him in the first place, and is also a teacher and also loves the nightlife here in Kathmandu. So you know, he showed me around a little bit. Well, I guess I'll get to that in a second. So I had my 3 days teaching and kind of coming back, getting sort of mentally ready to go on this 10-day meditation retreat that I mentioned before. And yeah, the morning of the retreat. So I did all my volunteering, finished that on Friday, packed all my stuff, ready to go for Saturday to go off on this retreat. And I woke up in the morning from an email from the Bonderman organization saying all Bonderman fellows need to return to the U.S. immediately because of the coronavirus. And, you know, there was something about maybe a 2 or 3 day wiggle room. And I'm like, oh, I really just want to do this 10-day retreat. There isn't even coronavirus here. The retreat's taking all these measures to make sure people from infected countries have a 2-week waiting period before they even get into the course. So I really wasn't at risk of getting coronavirus here. But after talking to them, the fear was that I would somehow get stuck over here because it's such a rapidly changing situation. And I, you know, after some reflection and talking with family, I think they're right. You know, I think it's really, it's unprecedented what the world's going through right now. It's a global pandemic, and we'll see how it develops. I mean, it'll be interesting listening to this podcast in the future. At this moment, it's, you know, you look at the U.S., you look at many European countries, it's just pure exponential growth, more and more cases every day. In contrast to places like South Korea, which have managed to bend that exponential and start to make it look more sigmoidal. You know, it's this more, it's slowing down, basically. They've, what do they call it? Leveling the curve? Whatever. So I think containment is possible, and it's probably going to be a good time to go back and be with family with all of this craziness going on, just to be there and support them. And at first it was hard to accept it. It really was, just because I was so mentally ready to go on this retreat, and really, you know, it felt like the right time. But, you know, in retrospect now, it's clearly not. clearly not the right time for me. But I'm excited to go home. I'm really excited to go home. I'm going to make it home for my mom's birthday. And it's going to be exactly 5 months left on October 16th, and I'll be returning on March 16th. So that's kind of cool. And there's still hope that I could continue my travels after this all dies down, and the Bonderman people might help me get back out there. So yeah, Oh, it looks like my plane's about to board. They can go ahead for a second. Yeah, so after finding out that I couldn't go on the retreat, I went over there and apologized and said I'm going to have to back out of the course. And had an amazing night in Kathmandu. You know, I was sort of restricting myself, kind of not... They recommend not partying, no alcohol or anything like that. But since I wasn't going on the retreat, you know, I went out and had some drinks with Lage. We went to this rock bar where they played, like, System of a Down and Rage Against the Machines. And, like, it was the rock scene here in Kathmandu was actually a good time. So, yeah, I went out, had a few drinks, kind of celebrated my last night here and made the most of my time here. And this morning, woke up. Bought some souvenirs, did some yoga, and had as much Nepali food as I could put in my stomach today. I'm going to miss all the food here so much. I had dal bhat yesterday for dinner, and today I had, like, momos and pakora and puri for breakfast. Yeah, just really trying to get in all the Nepali food that I can before I head back tonight. So yeah, that's where I'm at. So I think this will be the last episode of the podcast for a while. I'm not going to keep it up while I'm at home, but I'm hopefully one day, once the world settles down and our current global pandemic is over, then I can start this podcast back up and talk about my travels through Southeast Asia. I hope that day comes soon, but we'll see what the future holds. So with that, I will wrap it up and see you guys in the next one.